On this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock,
Google has an intent new way to monetize your content.
You can now demand generate images using AI for demand gen campaigns.
And it's taking all of our strength, but we're wrapping up the ad strength drama for you.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Christine Zernheld,
aka Shop.
I'm Jess Budd.
And I'm Nicole Waddington.
And it is officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on April 19th, 2024, it's Tortured Poets Day.
Congratulations.
It's a very special day. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us for an amazing show. You may have noticed the elephant in the room. Greg Finn is not here.
Nope.
He's a little under the weather today. Took a very rare sick day. Get well soon, Greg. But we have an exciting guest. Not really guest. Tables is back behind the boards.
Hey, Tabes.
Hi, everybody.
Fresh off of fatherhood.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
We're adjusting. So happy you're here.
I'm happy to be back. I know, Jess, you didn't see it, but to welcome myself back, I leaned back in this chair and just completely landed on my back.
I did not see
it. Super bad.
It was pretty scary.
Yeah. How's your spine? Fine?
It's great, yeah.
Okay. Luckily, he's doing okay because that baby needs him.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, it's good to be back. And trying to get as much sleep as possible.
And I'm sure our listeners are very excited that you're back for the editing. It's going to be great. He's promised me I'm going to look amazing in the thumbnails again. So not that that ever happened.
You always look great. The rest of us really need... Well, Nicole looks fine too. I really need your help, Tables. Thank you.
I need the editing too.
So we got Tables back, and it's an exciting month when we get two Nicole Waddington episodes. So Nicole, what is new with you?
I have just got given up on board sports completely. Any sport that involves a board.
Board games?
Same thing.
I've tried snowboarding a couple times the past winter. Not great. Little kids are passing me on the hill. It's horrible. I'm falling. Last weekend, I tried surfing. And again, same thing happened. The little kids, these little kids half my size, are standing up on these big waves and catching the waves and plowing into me, and it's not fun.
They have no fear.
They don't.
Not that you have a lot of fear, but
it's easier for kids.
Yeah.
Especially when you go skiing, those kids are just plowing down the hill without any poles. I'm like, what's going on here?
Their bones are made of rubber.
Closer to the ground.
Lower center of gravity. Yeah. Mm. You have nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
You know, just stick to PPC.
I think that's a good call.
What about you, Jess?
Well, I had a birthday this week, and we don't need to talk about that, but I...
HB.
Thanks. Happy birth. I woke up, and I was still a little bit delirious and not a good mom, I guess, because my wonderful son, Jack, asked me how old I was, and I told him...
Are you going to tell us?
Yeah, 36. And he was like, okay, what comes after that? And I was like, 37. And then 38, and then 39, and then 40. And I like left it at that, and I thought like he would understand, and so on. But I'm just waking up. I don't want to count that high, child. And he's my son, so of course his reply is, and then you die. Ugh. And I was like, yeah. But again, thinking like not at 40, but like I'm just going to continue until I die. And he also recently told me when I asked him how long he thought I was going to live, he told me 50. So kid doesn't have high expectations for me anyway.
But that's so old to him.
It is very old to him, to be fair. Although he said my husband was going to live to 85. So I don't know. Anyway, we kind of left it at that. Like we went on with our day and then we go to brush our teeth in the bathroom and the kid is crying. And I'm like, what's wrong, buddy? And he asked me if I was going to die before he was an adult. And I realized that I just can't have conversations before a morning coffee because he really thought that I was going to die at 40, I think. And his heart was broken and my heart was broken. And I just feel like a total failure.
That is so sad.
So I think I should just put him on some skis and like let him go find new parents.
You're not a failure.
It was awful. It was like, this is a sad story to be
telling. I'm sure you explained it to him and made it better.
I did, but I shouldn't have to, like, I should not have had to do that. That was a bad mom moment.
And it means he loves you a lot, so that's a good mom moment, and he could be crying what my kid cried about this week.
Oh, which is what?
Among other things.
Make me feel better, please.
She was hysterical when she realized that Taylor Swift does not know her name.
Why would you tell her
that? She was so upset.
Oh, no.
We were reading the Taylor Swift book, and she had, like, the heart hands in a picture. And I was like, she's saying she loves her fans. She loves Eliza. And she's like, she doesn't know my name. She was hysterical. And I was like, well, we can write her a letter. She's like, how is she going to get off the stage to read the letter?
So, she had a lot of logical questions.
It's a more legitimate concern, so that's good.
Well, if we need, like, group therapy, we could probably get a rate.
I wonder if she does respond, though, if you write.
I'm going to give it a try. She did not respond to my wedding invitation, but it's worth another shot.
This is a little bit different. Yeah. This is for the children.
So what's happening in the news this week, Jess?
First up, Google has announced a new ad format for AdSense called Ad Intents. And if that wasn't a mouthful already, the thing itself is nearly impossible to comprehend without reading it at least 3 times. So you may have to play this back. I'm just going to read from their announcement and then we'll talk about it. Google says, boost your revenue potential with the new ad intents, as in intent with an S, not intents, format for auto ads. And it says, today we're launching a new format for auto ads called Ad Intents. Ad Intents is an intent-driven format that places links and anchors into existing texts and pages on your site related to your content. What?
It is confusing on a podcast, so it's not intense. It's I-N-T-E-N-T-S.
Yes. It is intent-based, so it's Ad Intents. It's
and I feel like they did that intentionally.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah.
It's for these podcasters.
The whole thing is impossible to read. They do go on to say that it shows highly relevant ads that don't rely on third-party cookies. So if you're concerned about that, that's fine. But what the thing is if you have AdSense, if you're an AdSense publisher and you have this feature enabled, you basically are letting Google generate links within your text, so anchor links on its own, and or you can do one of each or both. What they're calling an intent anchor, and it's basically just like a blue little button, if you will, that pops up like an overlay at the bottom of your article, both of which are links, and they link to the SERPs. In their words, organic search results with ads. So you basically have either a link or a button or both that's auto-generated by Google in your content that then opens a dialog box over your content and lets users explore the SERPs and leave your site?
Yeah, that's the first thing I was thinking. It's like, from an advertiser's perspective and publishers, like, why would you want this? Because people would be clicking off to a potential competitor's site.
Mm-hmm. I guess people are clicking off anyway because it's an ad potentially, but it's very self-serving of Google.
It is.
Yeah.
And it looks, I mean, that the button is one thing, that the anchor, but the link, I mean, that you're just letting Google drop link on whatever, drop link, hashtag drop link, drop a link into your text on whatever you want. And like, it, if you're not paying attention as the user, like, you think that the publisher is endorsing that, mm-hmm. and then you're just sending people off to that. I just feel like it's probably a bad user experience.
And it's like, I'm scared to talk about SEO because it'll come for me. But like, don't they want to like cut back on all the link share and stuff? Like when it's up to no good, like selling links.
Yeah, I don't know.
And now they're gonna use it for ads.
Yeah.
And then I wonder, like, because the box that opens up has ads in it. Just it's basically like a browser window, like a Google SERPs window. And as an advertiser, if your ad shows up in one of these, like, is this going to count as an impression if they click? I'm assuming you're going to get charged.
Yeah, but you know what? That, like, it is. It would be a search ad in theory, right. But the user didn't actually perform a search. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Nobody knows. People are talking about it. Glenn Gabe said, holy hell, AdSense intent ads will link from your content to Google search results with ads and organic listings. Remember, the ad side of Google is completely separate from the organic side. They don't communicate about this stuff. Beware. Darth Autocrat on X, I believe, says, with a lot of characters around it, enough, tagged search liaison and ads liaison and said, I think that's about enough of all of this. It's not enough that you steal traffic from sites in the SERPs. You are now intent on stealing actual site visitors and directing them back to Google. Jenny did reply to that one and note that it is an opt-in feature for publishers. So it's not like this is going to happen automatically. You will have to sign up for it. Or not sign up for it, like sign on for it, I guess. But I don't know. I just feel like this could get really out of hand. And we'll talk more about AdSense publishers not being happy, not making a lot of money. So maybe this is a desperate attempt at driving more revenue for them. But I don't know. I don't know that I would click. I would probably click on a link within an article. I don't think I would click on a button. I don't know. It's interesting. It looks nice if you, that, like, it looks fine if you watch the GIFs of these things. But I think on principle, this is a very, very weird move.
It's not a good look for Google.
It's not.
It's not making me trust him more, going back to that PPC survey last week.
So by the time you're listening to this, generative image tools in demand gen campaigns on Google Ads will be rolling out to advertisers around the world in English and more languages to come later this year. So you'll remain in full control and decide which AI-generated images can be added to your campaigns. Google AI will never create two identical images, and all images generated by this AI tool will include mechanisms that allow them to be identified as generated, such as an open standard markup that will surface on tools like Google Image Search, as well as SynthID, which is an imperceptible digital watermark that is resistant to manipulations of the images. So another AI tool integrated in the ads platform. They have an example of cozy tents for winter adventures. So they have northern lights with tents that it generated. I don't know. I just don't trust any of the AI image tools that we've seen from Google. So I'm a little skeptical of this.
Yeah, they don't look cozy at all. You look like you'd be freezing in there, for one. So I don't know. It just looks fake.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be like your product that you wouldn't want to like mess around with the image. I feel like it should be, that's something you should be sourcing yourself.
Yeah. I guess chalk it up as a nice to have, but I'm afraid of it.
Beautiful Northern Lights. And next up here, we have an update on all of the ad strength drama. And I'm just really sad that Greg isn't here to close the loop on this, but I will do my best. He was really fired up for a few weeks about this. So if you're not familiar, this all started with a tweet, a post, an X from Nate Lewis at N8Lewis on X. And he said, new Google search campaign, will ads no longer show if they have low ad strength? ? And it has a warning. He's setting up his campaign and it says, your campaign is ready to run ads, but issues might limit performance. And it shows the warning symbol and it says, impressions are a problem, presumably due to low ad strength. Just says impressions, low ad strength. So this had a lot of people fired up about, you know, in the past, ad strength was explained to us as just a diagnostic tool about how many assets and the diversity of assets that you have in a particular ad. And we were always told that it was never used in the auction. So people kind of thought it was like useless, essentially. Like, I didn't look at it a whole lot. So Ginny responded to Nate and said, again, it's just a diagnostic tool. It's not used in the auction. But that doesn't make sense. How could it be limiting his impressions if it's just a diagnostic tool? And then last week, you'll remember Greg recapped that Search Engine Land article from Nicola, and it says Google explains why ad strength is, quote, so important as it addresses concerns from the industry. So this had quotes from a bunch of people in the industry about why they don't really care about ad strength. Somebody called it useless. And then they had Brendan Cram, Google's vice president of search and commerce. And he was talking about how important it is. He said, I don't know where the idea that ad strength is not important comes from. Ad strength is at the center of what we're trying to do because creative is going to be incredibly important, and ad strength is going to be the mechanism which we use to evaluate that both performance max and in channels like search. But again, if it's so important, why wouldn't it be used in the auction? It's just very confusing. Ginny also said at one point that parts of that article had been edited, and I don't know, like after publication, I don't know which parts that was, but just for reference, it could have been edited after we reported on it last week. And then meanwhile, the whole time people were talking about this, in the background, I just think it's worth noting, Nate Lewis is on like a tireless mission to prove that ad strength impacts ad rank in the auction. Like he's doing all these tests and updating us on it every day, and Greg's been following and reporting on it. So Ginny kind of gave the final say on this last week. She said ad strength is not used in ad rank, and it is not a factor in stopping a keyword from going into the auction due to ad rank. That is something that Nate had surmised. She said that was incorrect. Ad strength is a distinct diagnostic tool, and to reiterate, it is not a factor in the auction. It simply helps indicate the diversity and relevancy of the assets available to maximize the number of ad combinations that may show for a query. More combinations available typically means you'll have more opportunities to serve relevant ads in more options. So we still don't really have an answer of how ad strength can limit impressions. I don't know if that warning isn't going to show up in the platform anymore. It seemed like it was like a UI test at the time. But if anyone's wondering, Google is double, tripling down. I don't know if this has changed since we started talking about it, but ad strength is not used in the auction, and it does not impact your eligibility for the option. It cannot stop an ad from or a keyword from being eligible in the auction. So that's the final word on this for now.
Now it's time for this week's take of the week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
Do we have like a catchphrase for take of the week?
This week's take of the week is my take of mine.
This week's take of the week requires a little context, so I'm going to give that first, then we will get to the take. So there was a post on X from Colin Slattery at CJ Slattery on the platform. This says, agencies are a great option. For most brands, they're almost certainly the best option, and here's why. He goes on to talk about all of the things that agencies offer, like expertise, flexibility, affordability versus the cost of hiring somebody in-house. And that last piece there is what brings us to the take of the week, which comes from Sam Tomlinson at Digital Sam I Am on X, who expands on that last bit there. And he says, then there's the final cost, the risk premium that comes with in-house hiring. Most brands think of the cost of a bad hire as just the salary plus fringe, usually, and he's got a math equation.
Big math guy.
And he says that's wrong. The actual cost of the bad hire is far more. You can read his full tweet. I'm not going to do that, but I'll sum up his points. So number one, there is the time spent on hiring the person, which he says is anywhere from 100 to 200 hours per hire. Time spent firing the person if they're not good, including documenting issues, having meetings, potential legal consultation he's got in there. He said, number three, there's the mismanagement if you hire a paid media specialist and they do dumb stuff. Things could perform worse or, you know, at best be suboptimally deployed. So not, you know, using your budget, ad budget to its best potential. And then he says, and the cherry on top of this SH*T Sunday is the opportunity cost. You don't just lose hard costs, salary. You didn't just lose soft costs, time. You didn't just lose ancillary costs, ad spend, email performance, etc. You also lose all the time while this was happening, which could have been used to improve your business, but instead was used to take your business back a step. So basically saying on top of everything that you actually lost, you wasted your time too. You could have been doing something better. Said, add it all up, and a bad in-house hire can easily be a $1 million mistake, and that's if the brand catches it quickly, which most can't. That is the take of the week. I'm a little bit biased here, cypressnorth.com if you need help, but I feel like there's something to that. Honestly, like hiring somebody good is very difficult. hiring a good agency can be too. You should take the time to vet. It's not like it's just going to be a quick win. But once you do that, you should be set and you can go back to doing your job if you hire somebody that you trust. And it is a little bit lower risk often if you do that with an agency mm-hmm. versus investing in an in-house resource. So again, cypressnorth.com if you're looking for a great digital agency.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI.
ICYMI, people.
This is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
ICYMI, people, from Sam Tomlinson. Ever heard of him? At Digital Sam I Am on X. This week, he is talking about how important it is for advertisers to be paying attention to Reddit ads in 2024. So he says Reddit ads might be the most undervalued inventory on the planet right now. Reddit ads drove approximately $787 million in revenue in 2023, $204 million of which came from only 10 advertisers. Rough math says that Reddit's total organic traffic was approximately 2.2 billion sessions in 2023, or about 35 cents per organic session. And then he goes on to say, after a couple more paragraphs, Reddit is getting more visibility than ever before in organic search. It is on pace to have nearly three times more organic traffic in 2024 than it did in 2023, and it has seen ad revenue increase a mere 20.52% year over year. So just another reminder, I feel like we've said this before, but do not sleep on Reddit this year. I feel like the SEO people are definitely paying attention to it, but if you're on the paid side, it affects us too. It's definitely a good time to check out Reddit ads. All you have to do is set up an account, and then it's really easy to like set up a dummy campaign and check out the different targeting options and threads that you can look at. So thanks, Sam. Don't sleep on Reddit.
Now it's time for this week's
pew pew
lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social.
First up in the paid universe this week, Nava Hopkins is alerting us to a big change that will impact anyone who still has ETAs and DSAs running in Google Ads. Customizers, ad customizers for text ads, expanded text ads, and dynamic search ads will stop serving after May 31st, 2024. And this was, I think, announced last summer, but they gave us a lot of time to like wait, and I feel like we're all going to forget about it. And I think you are getting this email if you are someone who this is going to impact, because Nava got it, but I did not. And just to reiterate here, the customizers are going to stop running, not the ads themselves. So your ads are just going to run without the customizers in place. Would be pretty creepy if they ran them with the like curly brackets. Can you imagine? Not cute. And if you're running responsive search ads, nothing's going to change. Your customizers should not be impacted. And my prediction is that like after this, it's going to be like, your ETAs are just going to be upgraded to RSAs.
They're just going to want everyone
to turn them off. From Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan Retail, he says, yes, it's exhausting being right all the time. And he's been using this like nail paint emoji, and I just love that for Mike Ryan. So he's harking back to a post he had from November 15th, 2023, and it says Google Ads 2024 product roadmap, and it's the emoji of the car, and it's a highway and the sign going straight says YouTube Shorts, and then the exit is for even more YouTube Shorts, and the car is clearly changing its mind and exiting, going to even more YouTube Shorts at the last minute. Just a classic PPC meme.
It's really good.
And then he has a chart here for Google-owned and operated impressions from Performance Max. This was done by Smarter E-commerce, and you know, they're all around like 20,000 maybe 30,000. And then this one just jumps up in Q1 2024. Very scary stuff. Well, I don't know if it's scary, but Google wants more inventory on their own stuff. So pay attention to Mike Ryan for more insights like this. And he says this will be one to watch on Google's earning call in 2 weeks from now. So we'll have to see. Next up, from Adrian Decker on LinkedIn, he had a friend send him a summary of the key tips and insights from Google's Creative Excellence Guide for Demand Gen campaign. So it's basically what the guide says, but we don't have it in front of us. And I'm sure we're going to report on it again when the guide comes out, because we'll forget. So, But it's all about demand gen campaigns, and these just seem like pretty standard best practices. But some highlights are they see you use videos and images in combination, provide Google with AI and the right assets, use a variety of creative formats, and prioritize native platform assets, use high-quality relevant visuals, high-resolution videos, reuse high-performing imagery from social. Nothing was really crazy here, but we'll have that guide soon, so that's exciting.
Can't wait to talk about it.
Next up, Mike Ryan is sharing another chart. This one is from the covering the slippage in Temu's Google spend and how it's mirrored by AppRank. So this starts in January, and it's showing Temu spend on Google, and it's just very closely mirroring the rank in the App Store. So not a surprise, but you can look at the screen if you want to see it. Then he has a chart for the number of active campaigns on the Meta Ads library, and it's looking at Temu, Shein, and Amazon. And Temu has been kind of all over the map, and in April, it just shot up. I mean, he is climbing up a really tall mountain. Okay. He's going to need a tent from that Northern Lights company.
A nice cozy one.
Yeah. It's crazy. So clearly they're spending a lot more on Meta Ads, and this is probably going to impact competition a lot. Then he said, back when he shared the original post that Temu was showing softness across Q1, he was like, sorry for saying they were soft. Nail painting. Then this made me chuckle. David Herman posted this week at Herman Digital on X, also posted about Temu this week, and he posted a clip. I didn't know what movie this was at first. I don't watch a lot of these movies. At first I was like, Jess, what is this, like Pearl Harbor? And it had the dad from Casper doing like a Bill speech Pullman? And I swear Bill Hader was in the crowd.
No way. Really?
With a mustache. I swear.
That movie's so old.
It looked like Bill Hader.
I'm going to have to rewatch it. I thought you were asking me who the main guy was. That's what I was like searching for. It's Bill Pullman.
Yeah. Well, he's a great motivational speaker. I feel like they also could have used that hockey movie speech, but.
Miracle?
Yeah, it had the same effect.
That movie gives me chills. Both of these speeches give me chills.
Have you seen those, Nicole?
No.
Just be quiet.
You must. You must watch them both.
So he said, my rallying cry for DTC Twitter. Today is our Independence Day. Today is the day we launch the largest aerial battle of mankind against a foe that's trying to kill us on CPMs. Today we defeat Temu once and for all. Today we need you, DTC Twitter. Mark every ad of Temu as offensive content. We can win.
The most powerful line in that speech is, we will not go quietly into the night. And I really feel like it belongs in here.
We will not go quietly into the night. DTC Twitter, except for the Temu people, you mark those as offensive content. No, you're going to get like banned from Facebook. But you know, your heart's in the right place, David. It's great. Next up, from Thomas Hassell at Thomas Hassell on X, he posted a new update in Google Ads. They removed the ability to hover over a daily budget to edit it. You have to hover, then press edit budget. Shocking to me. Maybe, I bet that's only when you're trying to lower the budget, but I haven't seen it in my accounts. And that's unconfirmed. That's my guess. More news from Thomas Hassell. He says, Microsoft advertising has community responsibility attributes. This was definitely something new for me. Not to brag, Thomas, but it wasn't new to me. Just kidding. It was not new to me, but every time I try to post something on Twitter, it's not new to other people, and I'm deadly embarrassed. So
you just needed a moment.
I wasn't going to say that,
She's
but I did.
She's not going quietly into the night on this. She knew about it.
There was really, he should have shared this because people don't know about it. And it's all cool community attributes. You can say if you're Asian-owned, Black-owned, cruelty-free, family-owned, LGBTQ-owned, local business, nonprofit, small business. So definitely check them out because you should probably have some of these turned on.
And everyone should share everything that's new to them, because even if it's not new, it is new to someone.
I agree.
Yeah. Share it. Mm-hmm. Put it out there. And other people, stop making folks feel bad about it.
Mm-hmm. Next up, from Glenn Gabe, he shared an article from the Wall Street Journal about what they're calling MFA websites. What do you think that stands for?
I shouldn't ask you. Favorite. Aunt.
Made for advertising.
Oh, mother ads.
So we have a screenshot here. You know what we mean by made for advertising. They're like sites with just stupid ads all over them that are like so obnoxious. There is a beautiful image of them populating that I hope Tapes puts in the notes. Just some beautiful like gambling. We've got sneakers, tools.
Singles.
Some drugs. Some weight loss drugs. It's great.
A grocery 2024 playbook? Who needs that?
But he says MFA sites also often aggressively refresh the ads they display, potentially showing visitors the same ad thousands of times in a single session, according to a report from the research firm Adlytics. That means that unwitting brands could be paying astronomical prices to reach one consumer. So some industry people think that these should be shut down, but... I mean, I don't like to be on those websites. Next up, Kushal Barwani found this new similar product feature in shopping ads. So he says, I'm not sure if I have seen this before in a shopping ad, but it's interesting to me. And below the shopping results, there's this section for ads. It says sponsored and it's labeled as similar products. I don't know if I love that.
I'm not looking for something similar. I'm looking for what I'm looking for.
Yeah, and I feel like that should be something you have to like opt into as an advertiser to say.
Yeah, I don't want
to
pay for that. People aren't reading that. They're just going to click.
And if it's not similar, like I don't want to make people mad that my product's in there, you know? Oh my gosh. TikTok is testing virtual influencers for video ads. They're clearly AI.
Yeah.
They're not like pretending to be real. And it says they will compete against human creators for lucrative advertising contracts.
Who gets the money? These people?
Big tech. The new AI avatars can allegedly read scripts for video ads created from prompts submitted by brands and TikTok shop sellers. And then it says TikTok researchers discovered that AI avatars haven't generated as many e-commerce sales as human influencers. You don't say! Do I even have to say this? Like, the whole point of influencers and why it turned into a thing is that you're, like, trusting someone's opinion.
Yeah.
And I barely trust influencers now because I know everybody's getting paid to say something.
Mm-hmm. But at least they could actually put the shoe on and tell you if it's comfortable. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Jude Law. AI is not happening.
PPC Greg let us know that Spotify has a tracking pixel now.
So awesome.
Finally.
Finally.
And from Dario Zanoni, he spotted a new feature in Google Shopping Ads. This is called Conversion Annotations, and they leverage aggregated conversion data from a product's history in Merchant Center to display notices like best-selling or 1,000 shopped here recently. Quote, Conversion Annotations are Google's new feature designed to showcase the popularity of stores and their products to shoppers. This is something you can opt into on the conversion settings page in your account. And he says, note, I haven't found the opt-in option yet, but there is already an article on Google about this. It seems kind of cool. I wish you could I don't know how much control you're going to have over which ones they are, but love it. What's happening on organic, Jess?
So Google's launching a paid version of Chrome and they are targeting businesses with this one. Essentially, Chrome Enterprise Premium offers enhanced security measures, data protection, and malware scanning. There are, anyone can use it, I suppose. But business-specific benefits include if you subscribe to Enterprise Chrome, managers can limit documents that can be uploaded or printed. That's cool, I guess, if you have a lot of issues with that. If you're a large organization, maybe you do. It's compatible with enterprise software such as Google Workspace, so you don't have to worry about that. And the premium version comes with, like I said, data loss prevention and malware deep scanning. So the free version obviously does not have that. So if that's something of interest to your business, check out the article for more boring details. So playing Greg Finn here, this is where I would say from Barry Schwartz, the incredibly fast talker over at Search Engine Roundtable. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I said it.
By the way, have you heard Greg on It's New this week?
Yes. It is new.
By the way, those SEOs, not thinking about how the name title is competing with Taylor Swift.
I definitely Googled It's New to try and find it, and Taylor Swift came up first.
Cruel Summer, baby.
Wow.
They should have consulted me.
You would have known.
Yeah. Pretty soon it'll be a household name and they'll be ranking.
Yes, I agree. But yeah, it's new. You should check out Greg. He did that this morning, but didn't come to work and do the show. So that's fine. Yeah. So here I am trying. Did we talk about this printer thing? I know we talked about it internally, but I don't think we talked about it on the show.
I don't remember it. I hate printers, so I would remember.
Yeah, perfect. So everyone hates printers. They don't work. But if you need the best printer here in 2024, The Verge has an article for you. SEO nerds will probably already know about this, so I don't know that I need to give a full update. But basically, they had written an article trying to rank for best printer in Google and had recently slipped in the rankings, so they updated it for 2024. There's some AI content in there, some affiliate links, like doing all of the things, right? And it's funny, people have had a good time with it, and it's really just like a tongue-in-cheek article, which you should read if you're interested.
So the people who wrote it, like, hate printers too?
I mean, printers don't work. Everybody knows
that. Why do you think I'm married, like, so my husband can print things at work?
Yeah. Well, actually, the brother printer that they recommend...
I don't want to deal with our printer here.
Our printer here is impossible as well. The best printer for 2024, the brother laser printer... I have one at home. It works 5 out of 10 times, just like any other printer. They're all the same. They all suck. But the point is that The Verge did some tricky things and then was able to
write again. What a flex to have a printer at home. Like, you are an adult. I do not.
It's like having a landline.
Yeah. I don't have one of those, but my parents do. So between the two of us.
You have a printer and a landline.
Fully functioning. Yeah. I could maybe fax them if we combine the technology. Anyway, this is the thing that's been going on. And as Barry said, he has been waiting for a Googler to respond to this at all. A lot of SEOs have been commenting about it. And John Mueller did respond. And he said people seem to really enjoy it. So that is that's why the content ranks. People enjoy it. All right. So Google is testing some new things or new displays in the SERPs. They're testing horizontal lines under site links and people also ask elements in the search results. They're testing a darker line under the featured snippets. Both of those things, I think, just kind of make things look messy and not modern. I don't really like them, but whatever. Google is also testing rounded site link buttons. Those are fine. We've been talking a lot about how forums and some not so great threads on them are surfacing at the top of the search results for some health related queries. Danny Sullivan has taken to his @searchliaison account to respond to the criticisms, as well as confirming that Google is aware of the concerns and looking to address them. So there was a post on X from @TaylorAnnBurg or Taylor Berg that said, I think the worst, she says think, but I think she means thing, about the whole discussions and forums thing is how dismissive I feel Google is being. The response of we will take this feedback to the team kind of sucks when we're bringing up that spammy forum answers are outranking doctors for med terms. So she was just kind of calling that out, and I know that sentiment was kind of out there. It's not just hers. So Danny did reply, and he said, I'm sorry my responses have come across as dismissive. If that's what you're referring to, I haven't meant them to be, nor are they being dismissed. The feedback has gone back, and people are indeed looking at how to improve here. To recap why I had hoped it wouldn't be deemed, wouldn't be seen as dismissive, ... He puts in a bunch of things that he said with links to further details there. And then he says, there's more... More of that, you can go through my replies. Saying I'm passing feedback along really isn't like, no, this doesn't matter. It does get seen. People are using this type of feedback actively to understand ways to improve, and it is appreciated. So thanks, Danny, for stepping in and saying, a lot of times, you know, it's like, oh, I'll tell my manager. Like, no, he's actually laddering it up, and it seems like they're actively working on it. So thanks for clarifying. He did also reply to a post from Lily Ray on LinkedIn about it, and you can read that whole thing too if you want. The link will be in the show notes. But there's a lot of chatter, and Google is officially responding and addressing this. So that is nice to see. Another weird thing Google's doing, they are responding to a pending bill in California. The California Journalism Preservation Act, or the CGPA, that would require Google to pay a link tax to publishers. Google's response is, we're just going to test for California users, just removing those links to California-based publishers from the SERPs. Google wrote, quote, to prepare for possible CGPA implications, we are beginning a short-term test for a small percentage of California users. The testing process involves removing links to California news websites potentially covered by the act.
Playing dirty.
Playing dirty, and they're doubling down. They also said that until there is clarity on California's regulatory environment, we are also pausing further investments in the California news ecosystem, including new partnerships through Google News Showcase, yada, 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 all sorts of things. So they're just not playing nice with the great state of California. But they are playing nice with Google Maps. It's their own product. But somebody's got to say the Higman thing when I say Anthony's name.
I'm ready.
Okay, thank you. So a post from Anthony Higman.
Higman!
Ooh. Greg, you got to try to do that next week. He says some weird/interesting updates to maps today. One, upgrade to smarter Google Maps. Just make it better. Smarter Google Maps, according to the screenshot, are real-time, faster, and personalized. And two, new 3D buildings show you rich details Ooh. While you navigate, which is cool if you're not in the driver's seat.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes that's more distracting and harder to see.
And these Teslas have, like, big screen TVs.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't they drive themselves, though?
Good point. So you could just enjoy the rich details.
Yeah. He also says, and this is from one of the screenshots he shares, plus, saves you 6% gas. P, as in parking, is medium. He says, not sure about that one, and no comment specifically yet, LOL. I would like real-time turn-by-turn navigation and live traffic data in my Google Maps. Yeah, I feel like I already get that.
I know.
I don't want to upgrade. I don't know. I shouldn't have to upgrade to have that, but thanks for saving me 6% gas. How do you know what I drive? What if I drive an electric car? You're saving me zero gas. Mm-hmm. Presumptuous. Okay. Many Google AdSense publishers have been reporting massive declines. I alluded to this before. In their earnings and RPMs, which is revenue per 1,000 impressions, not like vroom, vroom. It's the opposite, really, here. Since late February, despite traffic changes, lack of traffic changes or any other updates on the publisher side. Again, this is just a lot of people commenting in threads. On forums about how things are going for them. They're complaining of their revenue being down 70. I saw one that was even as high as 90% in some places. So it's a great time for a new ad format that can make them some quick dollars. What I love too is that Barry is just like, here is a chart. Literally said that in his article, Barry Schwartz, and then shows a drop off of clicks and earnings. They don't necessarily happen at the same time, but they both go really, really, really low. So where you had your mountains, Shep, I have valleys. I can put a cozy tent there too. Bad. All right, a tweet post on X from Glenn Gabe. May 5th will be like March 5th, with a flurry of manual actions plus algorithmic demotions. It is approaching quickly. Should be very interesting to analyze. And then he has a quote here. It says, site reputation abuse is when third-party pages are published with little to no first-party oversight or involvement, where the purpose is to manipulate search rankings by taking advantage of first-party sites' ranking signals. So what he is talking about here is something that Barry Schwartz had shared, basically saying that Google confirmed that the upcoming site reputation abuse spam, I don't like the way that reads. Anyway, they're going to fight that with manual action and algorithms. So humans and machines together once again. There's two ways to fight site reputation abuse. And Glenn says, watch out. He can't wait to tell us all about it come May 5th. Finally, the core update that started on March 5th is still happening.
Oh, my God.
Still happening. I had to check with Kbergs, who is our resident SEO here, especially when Greg's not around, to confirm that it is March 5th, not April 5th. This thing has been going on for a very long time. And people have had lots to say about it. Lily Ray posted that LinkedIn Pulse is now getting hit hard with this update. And she's got some screenshots of some charts where LinkedIn Pulse for a while in recent months had actually been gaining some traction and then just took a huge dive a couple days ago, really, here. She says, wonder which systems Google is currently updating with a nerd face.
That's hurtful. It's more of a geek to me.
But just to be clear, so Lily's saying that she is seeing a drop off in LinkedIn Pulse content. But when I was talking to Kbergs about this earlier, she said that one of our clients is actually seeing a dip in rankings for a piece of content that they have that's traditionally done fairly well, and it has been overtaken by LinkedIn Pulse. So I'm not saying Lily's wrong. I'm just saying, again, a lot of volatility here, and we will continue to watch it. And thank God Greg will be back next week to talk more about it. Maybe it'll be done rolling out by then. But for now, I am done. That is it for Organic. What's happening in social, Nicole?
X News here from Elon Musk, at Elon Musk on X. He said, unfortunately, a small fee for new users' right access is the only way to curb the relentless onslaught of bots. Current AI and troll farms can pass Are You a Bot with ease. Another thing to pay for.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. Who's going to sign up?
Yeah, I don't know. It says users, so to expand on this, users will be able to create an account and browse the app for free. But if you want to actually interact, you'll need to pay this fee. And Musk further noted that after 3 months, new accounts will be able to interact for free. So it doesn't seem like it's a forever thing, but you're blocked from interacting for 3 months.
I would wait to sign up.
For sure. Well, I would sign up and then wait 3 months.
Yeah, to tweet anything.
Yeah.
I also never tweet anyway, so.
Same. But I do want to visit a troll farm. Are you too young to remember, Nicole, what trolls smelled like?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
The troll dolls?
The troll dolls. They smelled so good. If you went to a farm, it would be like the most aromatic experience. Mm-hmm. We got to get you one to smell. It's good if you like to huff plastic. Do you ever like rip off a Barbie head and snort the inside?
I wasn't allowed to have Barbies.
Oh, okay. We'll get you one
but
of those
I know
too.
What the like fake plastic smells like. It's yeah. Great. Mm-hmm. News from TikTok. They are paying creators to up its search game. Creators making money on the platform will now be paid based in part on how well their content meets what other users are searching for. And we keep reporting on how people are using TikTok more as a search engine, so this makes a lot of sense. TikTok calls this metric search value. It's one of the four core elements in determining a creator's payout, and it's part of their new monetization program called Creator Rewards. So TikTok's encouraging creators to use a new tool called Creator Search Insights to research trending searches and make content on that. In social media today, Andrew Hutchinson had an article, Will AirChat Become the Next Big Social Network? And he thinks not. So,
spoiler.
So, AirChat, for context, is a voice and text network similar to Twitter in basic UI, but you speak what you want to share, and the app turns your speech to text and displays it in a Twitter-like feed. I don't get it.
It sounds terrifying for people like me who just mumble all day.
Yeah.
And I mean, even any voice to text never works for me.
Never. No.
There's always typos.
Try explaining the intense new ad intense format.
We wouldn't have been able to do it. I feel like this would be a nice feature for an existing social network, but we don't need one that is purely what people say out loud into their phones. Yeah. You have to like punctuate when you're telling Siri what you want to text.
I know.
It's awful.
I don't get it. So I'm with you, Andrew Hutchinson. I don't think this is gonna fly.
No. Also, you're just like out there saying your thoughts out loud.
What's the difference between doing that and then doing that on X, but just doing your voice to text thing on
exactly.
The keyboard?
I just don't want to hear what everyone is about to post. I'm off social media for a reason. I don't need everybody walking around telling me their thoughts.
Next up, YouTube star Marcus Brownlee's scathing humane AI pin review led to arguments over ethics and influence from TechSpot. So, humane AI pin is a screenless square device that can be attached to clothing. It features a camera, microphone, and touchpad, and a laser projector that displays the GUI on a user's hand. And AI pin can also make calls, send and receive text messages. A hefty $700 plus a $24 a month subscription to use. And since it's been released, it's garnered mostly bad reviews. People are saying it doesn't work, it's slow, runs hot, and has a short battery life. So it doesn't seem like a product I'll be buying anytime soon. And Marcus made a negative review on YouTube, and it got a lot of people heated, saying that he shouldn't have made the video because it was irresponsible. You have 18 million subscribers and you're heavily impacting Humane's sales. But I don't know. I think regardless of whether you agree with the review or not, like it's a lesson in the fact that influencers do have a lot of influence.
That's the point. And it can't all be positive or we're not going to trust it. It's like what you both were just talking about before. Mm-hmm. If we want to trust these people, not AI folks, there should be some honesty in there. If something's not good, you shouldn't say it is.
Yeah. And then last in social, Meta is trying to help Instagram influencers create AI bot versions of themselves.
So, what did I just say?
They're testing a program, Creator AI, and this will allow an influencer to create an AI bot version of themselves so that it can chat with the fans. But, like, you don't have control over what this AI bot's saying on behalf of you. I wouldn't want to trust an algorithm to interact with people. Also, as a fan, like, why would you want to talk to an AI
version? It could be good for fooling little girls into the fact that Taylor Swift knows their name.
I don't want to lie to her.
Also, fair point.
Just pointing out a possible use case. Yes. It's dumb.
And that brings us to our real life segment. Straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work, good, bad, or otherwise.
Working hard for me this week is just trying to control Performance Max at all. I'm using it for a lead gen account, and it's bringing us a lot of sales qualified leads. We're importing them from Salesforce. But anytime we try to do anything to optimize, like, we'll be like, let's look at landing page performance and see if any are doing bad and then exclude them with URL roles, and like traffic will just drop off. Like, it'll stop spending. So anytime you try to make it better, it gets worse, and it's just a terrible product. And I wish I had nothing to do with it.
Except it's like your whole world. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
What's going on with you?
I don't like the new Google Ads interface. I don't know where I am.
Yeah.
It keeps putting the settings right in my face, but then when I need them, they're the wrong ones. I've been using this thing for a week, and it took me until today when I was putting this in here to realize, because I thought that for some reason, your settings, to get to the settings for the thing you were in, you needed to be in the thing below it in the hierarchy. So for example, I was in the ads tab and saw the ad group settings at the top. And then I would go to like the ad groups tab and see the campaign settings at the top. And I just thought it was this weird, like, either bug or they were just doing something stupid. And it took me until today to realize that the drop down like filtering that they added, based on how you're filtering, is what those settings are that show up. And that is extremely confusing, and I just don't like it. And I feel like they're trying to make things easier, but it's not intuitive to me, and I'm really struggling.
Yeah.
And I'm trying.
I'm just bad at new interfaces.
Same.
Like, trying to break old habits. It's tough.
I want AdWords back. I know. What about you, Nicole?
All right. Working hard for me in LinkedIn is I noticed you can now choose to either duplicate an existing ad or link to the original ad. There's like a radio button with two options when you're adding existing content to a campaign. And I love this because before, sometimes I would want to make like a UTM change and I need literally the exact same ad, but I'm just going to change one little thing. And I learned my lesson many a times not to change an ad because it would affect any ad that's in a current campaign too that's identical. So love it, LinkedIn.
And now for this week's
cool tool.
As a reminder, our cool tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners and is really, really cool.
This week's cool tool is something we ship for well-equipped PPCers. It is actually an update to a tool that I know we've shared previously, but it is no less worthy of mentioning again, from Smarter E-Commerce and the one and only Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan Retail, if you've never heard of him. It is an update to their PMax Brand Traffic Analyzer script. And the new version that they just shipped, which are the words he used and where I got my rhyme from, because I'm really, really struggling lately. It includes conversion rate and CTR data, as well as the ability to break out blank and uncategorized data from the branded versus non-branded stuff that you're seeing. So that is a very nice upgrade, in my opinion. It is free, and as always, we will have the link in our newsletter as well as on Discord. That's newsletter.andcommunity.marketingoclock.com respectively. So pick your poison, give me some of it, and check it out.
Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week. An article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from the Optimizer blog, and it is called Use New Customer Acquisition in Google Ads Without Hurting ROAS. And this comes from Benjamin Ackerman from Savvy Revenue. So you've probably heard about the new customer acquisition goal in Google Ads, and it sounds like the most amazing thing, but it's kind of easier said than done. So this takes you through the best way to implement it in your account. It talks about why the new customer acquisition goal is important and two different strategies for trying it in your account. So you can either bid exclusively on new customers or bid higher for new customers than existing customers. And Benjamin breaks it all down for you in the blog. And just like Jess said, we're going to have this in all the places, newsletter, Discord, pick your poison. Please don't give it any to Jess. You know, she's important around here, but check it out. And now onto our playlist of curated songs to work to. You can head over to playlist.marketingaclock.com to listen to Marketing a Playlist. Jess Bud, what will you be adding to the playlist this week?
I spent the entire day, well, most of it, with headphones in and no music on. So I'm just going to go with Sound of Silence, but the Disturbed version.
Okay. Well, I, in reality, will be listening to Taylor Swift's new album, and we're about to talk about it some more. But for now, I have really been enjoying the new Maggie Rogers album, so I'm going to do The Kill by Maggie Rogers.
I've liked that album.
There are so many, like, pop queens just releasing bops here.
I'll say.
In the spring of 2024. It is an amazing time to be a woman. Nicole, what about you?
I will be adding The Way You Move by Outkast.
I love that song. All right, that does it for today's show.
It is officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thanks for listening.
We miss you already, and we can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topics, head over to marketingaclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we cover. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingaclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shooting the Heck. We're after our famous Friday news show. We don't talk about marketing anymore. We just
shoot the heck.
And Greg is gone today, so I've commandeered the segment of the show. This is a big day. We are recording this in the past, but on this day, April 19th, 2024, Taylor Swift's new album will be released.
And you're not in the office?
I have taken the day off. Mm-hmm. Do not look for me. Do you guys know anything about the album?
It gives me folklore vibes, but I don't know what the title is.
Okay.
I don't know anything about it other than...
You don't have any idea what the title is?
No.
What are your guesses?
Do you?
Yes.
The title's out there?
Yes.
I'm going to call it the April 2024 Taylor Swift album.
It's not Google naming it. Can you imagine?
That's like Adele, how she named all her albums after how old she was.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Which was very cool at the time.
I still think it's cool.
Yeah.
Do you have a guess, Nicole? You must have heard it in passing.
I have heard it. Something poet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the Tortured Poets Department. Ooh. Or as I keep mixing it up with the Dead Poets Society.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. Same film.
So I'm going to go through some of these tracklist names, and you're going to tell me what you think the song was about. And I want you to be brave and just like come up with some lyrics and sing on the spot, but I won't force you.
I will be a poet on the spot. I'm not going to sing.
Okay. Also, there's two features on the album. Does anyone want to guess who they are?
Is that like a person?
Yeah, she has two people who are coming on. The first one has a feature.
Beyonce.
I wish.
Ooh.
Doesn't she do something with Ice something?
That's on an old album.
Ice Cube.
No! Okay, I guess I'm giving it away.
Wait, no. That Noah guy, Noah Kahan?
No, oh, that would be a good guess too.
I'm trying to actually play here.
I'm just going to tell you. So the first one is Fortnite.
Who's
featuring
that?
Post Malone. The song is called Fortnite.
Oh, okay.
So what do you guys think about this one? Like, what are we picturing?
It's totally about playing games with your crush, right?
Like video games, like Fortnite?
Like Fortnite, yeah.
I don't know. Fortnite is like 14 days.
Oh.
Something tells me it's not going to be about the video game.
Well, yeah.
But so we'll have to check back.
Maybe it's about... Yeah, a 2 week time mm-hmm. has passed since I've seen you last.
Ooh.
I like that.
That's all I got.
Okay, the next one is the title track, The Tortured Poets Department. Happy song, sad song.
Sad.
Yeah, there's no way it's uplifting.
I think it's a sad song. Mm-hmm. Something about her being a songwriter and all the challenges that come with that.
The struggles of bearing your soul to the world, but you have to get it out. So therefore, now we know everything about her.
And that one is explicit. So what words do you think we'll hear?
She drops an F-bomb here and there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next one is, my boy only breaks his favorite toys. Are you getting a vibe from this album yet?
I feel, well, it's definitely a breakup album from Joe,
yeah.
Right?
Question mark, because nobody knows who he is, but whatever.
Oh. Is she still with that footballer?
Yes. Yeah.
So why is she writing sad songs?
Because this is from when... 2 years ago. She also keeps making big things about the number two. Mm. So some people think she's going to drop Rep TV on the same day.
What?
Double album drop.
Oh.
Rep Taylor's version, Reputation.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Thought maybe she was pregnant with baby TV, number two. That's her announcement.
Okay, so now knowing that you know it's a breakup album, mm-hmm. could you guess any more track titles?
Kill Me Now. One?
Probably something British related.
So Long, London.
Ooh.
And you got it. Yes, she had another song called London Boy, and it's one of the only songs she will not perform at the Eras Tour. Like, she's never done it.
Because it's going to make her cry?
Like. I don't know, but it's not like that big. It's like a pop song, but it's just like too personal, I think.
London Bridge is Falling Down? Does she cover that?
That's only, there's one called Florida with 3 exclamation points.
Isn't that where Travis... No, he's not from Florida.
No. Mm. People think when we heard the news that they broke up, she was in Florida performing in Tampa or something. That's when it came out. So people think that that's it.
Did she get dumped by this person?
It seems like thank you for asking, Jess.
From Joe.
Okay.
But it seems like she wanted to get married maybe and he didn't. Mm. There's a song from, it was leaked at first from her last album. It's truly gutting. It's called You're Losing Me. And it seems like a preview for this album. There's a line that says, I wouldn't marry me either. Can you believe?
That hurts.
I would marry you, Taylor. Okay, then there's a
poor
song.
Baby. Oh, what a tortured poet she
I
is.
I know.
Oh, wow.
Man. There is a song called The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived.
Ooh. Okay, that's an angry
It's going to be really
Is
good.
It explicit? She's going to swear in that
one. Wait, I lost it. Yes.
She's definitely talking about just him as a person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just checking.
Then that's what I think. But Daddy, I Love Him. That's a reference to Ariel, I think.
Yeah.
But Daddy, I Love Him.
Yeah, thank you. That's
Down Bad, Fresh Out the Slammer. Then there's songs on here.
Jailbird?
No, I feel like that one's going to be talking about herself, like she was locked up. He really never wanted her to be out in public, it seems like. She was always hidden. They never walked the red carpet together. Now she's just all over the place with Travis.
Yeah, she didn't need this man. I think he sounds like a loser. Mm-hmm. I feel like she should just, this whole album, she should just throw out a box of his stuff.
And now she's doing all these it seems kind of catty. She's releasing playlists of her old songs and they're all the stages of grief. And the denial playlist has all of her biggest love songs about him.
I don't know why I'm so into this, but I really
I like
am.
That.
I'm saying.
I need to look more into this. This is exciting.
I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. There's one called LOML, Love of My Life. Mm. It's going to be really good.
Do you know what her best song really is, though? It's that Drops of Jupiter cover. I listened to it twice yesterday.
It's really good.
It's really good.
I like it, too. Okay, well, those are predictions for the album. I think it's going to be, more fun than we think, but definitely a breakup album. And just please send your thoughts and prayers to really everyone in my life, my husband, my children. The
Your
last
clients.
Time she released a breakup album, it was Red. And I was freshly dating my husband, happy time in my life. And I was inconsolable because of this album. It just affected me. I called it a Taylor Swift depression.
Wow. Well, at least you have the weekend to get over it. You come back fresh on Monday and we can't wait to see you.
So everyone just look out for your fellow Swifties, you know?
They're there.
And we'll see you next week.
You know what time it is. It's officially marketing o'clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it live.